This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. How many of us know that He changes everything? Praise God. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord. My, my, my. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Except for Brother Danny. That would be you, sir, sitting down. Danny, come on up here. You see, Danny this week went to North American Youth Congress. But Nelson, testify a little bit about what happened there.
I just thank God for everything He does. I'm thankful that He filled Peyton and Riley with the Ryder with the Holy Ghost and Logan and Lydia. And I'm just thankful.
Amen. Four. Got the Holy Ghost. Come on. And you know, Sister Riley shared with us at Shelbyville that she prayed for somebody who came out of a wheelchair. You see, we think that God can't move through us, but I'm going to tell you, He moved through Riley, and He can move through us. These signs shall follow those who believe in My name. Come on, somebody hear me today. Hallelujah. And true to suit, I'm going to have an adult testify. So, Sister Olivia, if you wouldn't mind, come and testify about what happened in at North American Youth Congress.
I just thank the Lord for the wonderful spirit we felt there and for the youth being in unity. And God truly moved on them. And I want to thank God for the touch that God gave my kids for a very long time. I was so worried about them and how they would be sensitive to God. But both of them were slain in the Spirit, and Gabby and all the ones that got the Holy Ghost, and Nicole was baptized. And I'm just so happy for what God's doing in our youth group.
Praise God. The final stats came out, and there were 1,087 that received the Holy Ghost. 375 kids baptized in Jesus' name. That's nothing to sneeze at, ladies and gentlemen. There were lives changed. Can I tell you, these young people have been changed forever. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. If you would, stand with me for the reading of the Word. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 2 and 1. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, say oh me. Okay. Deuteronomy 2 and 1 says this: Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Today I want to preach from this subject. It's time for change. It's time for change. Anybody in the house ready for change? If you're ready for change, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm ready for something new. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. You've come past this mountain long enough. That's what the Lord said. You've dealt with this thing long enough. You have been around and around and around in a circle long enough. It's time to move forward. Amen. That's what the word of the Lord is saying for us today. We have been where we're at long enough. Now, don't nobody get nervous. We ain't moving from this building. I'm saying spiritually, we have been where we're at long enough. It's time to move forward. In the kingdom of God, we are on the offense. We are taking ground. We are moving forward. There is not room in the kingdom to move backwards. There's not room in your life to move backwards, not one more day. You've been in this life cycle long enough. I remember years ago, my pastor preached a message that said this: there's cycles, there's circles, and then there's change. How many times have we circled back to the same old problem? How many times have we cycled back to where we started because we can't get past that one thing that keeps plaguing our lives? How many times, look, I'm going to tell you, it's time for change. It's time to do something different. It's time to move forward in the kingdom. It's time to say enough is enough and move forward. Amen. God said and told me to let you know that you could participate and cooperate in the process, but it's up to you. You can stay walking circles if you want to, but the Lord's telling you it's time to go. And I pray to God that you're ready to go. I pray that you're ready to move forward. I'm praying that the church as a whole has had enough of where they are. Look, I'm going to tell you, I am not satisfied. I am thankful for what we saw last week. I am thankful for the move of the Holy Ghost. But I, you know what? I'm not going to circle the entire church around that, because he's wanting to do something different this week. And he's wanting to do something greater next week. And there's more on the way if we will believe him for it. If we will believe him for it. The problem is not with God, but with us coming back to a same cycle and a same circle. It may be your financial situation. It may be your relationships. It may be your emotions. You might have a physical situation in your body. It may be your spiritual life, your walk with God, your experience with God. But what God is saying is it's time for a change, and he's wanting to address some things. There are some things that got to be addressed. Amen. Can I ask a question? Is anybody in the house really ready for change? Or are you comfortable where you're at? I want you to be honest today. Am I comfortable living the way I've been living? Or do I want to move forward into what God has for me? I preached just a little while ago that the lepers, there were 10 of them. 9 of them were happy for just a little bit of change. But there was one that came back that was made whole. How much are you willing to participate? How much do you want from God? Is anybody sick and tired of living the same cycle? Is anybody sick and tired of being in the same situation, dealing with the same sin, dealing with the same struggles, dealing with I'm here to tell you, today is your day. Today is a day of change. Amen. I'm talking to somebody who's tired of going around and around and coming back to that same old cycle of shame. Come, look, I'm going to tell you, you get all fired up. You come to a church service, and you get your little doodads on, and then you walk out the door, and that same thing hits you right square in the face. Today is a day of change. You can change it. God can help you change it, but you have to be a willing participant. And it's scary, I know, because change can be scary. But I'm going to tell you, you've come past this mountain long enough. Enough is enough. I've had enough. I pray that you've had enough. Amen. Somebody, if you really are ready for change, I want you to say it out loud. I'm ready for change. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm ready for change. I am ready for change. I am not satisfied where I'm at. Change requires effort. Change requires you not settling for what was happening yesterday. Change requires you not relying on the popular opinion of everybody else around you. Because when you change, there are going to be some people not understanding your change. But when you do change, God's going to understand it, and he's going to prosper you. But you have to want it. Tell your neighbor you got to want it. You have to want it. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but somebody needs a turnaround, and you need it today. It's not enough to go not one more day without a turnaround. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. And look, if you need it today, you need it right now. There's some of you that walked into this place that you have something plaguing you. Hey, lift your hands in this place. I'm getting ready to wax bold. There's an enemy in the house that wants to make you think that as long as you get your little doodads, you're going to be all right. I can have a little bit of this, but as long as I get my little worship on, I'm going to be all right. You're going to worship your way to hell if you're not careful. God is on your trail today. You're like Samson, friend. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to shake yourself like times before, but now you're not going to be aware that the Spirit of God's left you unless you deal with this thing. It's time to quit circling this mountain today. You're facing a situation. It seems like it's impossible for you to change, like it's out of your hands. You've got an excuse for why you can't change. But the problem is it's not that you can't change. You don't want to change. You don't understand. No, I understand perfectly. I understand terrible things happen to people. And I understand that life events happen. But I also understand that the Holy Ghost is more than enough to break every shackle and every chain that he can. That he is more than enough. That he can heal your broken heart. He can heal your past trauma. He can do whatever you need him to do. But you have to be a willing participant in the change. You see, God told him to go northward, did he not? Brother Jones, did he tell him to go northward? He did. But Brother Nelson, it was up to them to make the steps forward. God can lead you on a path. He can tell you where to go and that everything's going to be all right, but it's up to you to take the steps. God is not going to do for you what you need to do for yourself. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you've come past this mountain long enough, and now it's time for you to change. It's time for you to start making the steps. Problem is, we get three steps up the hill and we realize it's going to be hard. And we will go back down and we start circling again. Well, I'll just get my little dance on and everything's going to be all right. Can I tell you, there's going to be a day when that dance is going to run out and it's going to be too late, my friend. I come to tell you in this house that we serve a God of turnarounds. This Bible is a book of turnarounds, and your situations is not too big. You just got to get out of your flesh and allow God to do what he wants to do in your spirit. You've got to submit completely and totally to him. And when you do that, when you lay it all down and say, God, you have all of me this time, that's when God can do something. Problem is, we like Yaltobo Kosa. We're not sick of that thing yet. We're not sick of the situation yet. Shoo-wee. The devil don't want to mess with me today, I'm going to tell you right now. I can't change. I've tried. You're just not sick of it. You either love Jesus or you love what you're dealing with. When you're done with something, you're done with it. Amen. Got any recovering addicts in the house, anybody? When you're done with it, you're done with it, ain't you? You find something else that you love more, and when you find that you love that more, that addiction, that thing that was holding you back, it don't have no power over you, because I love this. Why don't we just love Jesus more? Why don't we decide that Jesus is enough, and that I don't have to go back to the things that were holding me back, that I don't need this other validation? Jesus is more than enough. You're just not tired of it yet. For years, they circled Mount Seir over and over again. And what'd they do the whole time? They grumbled. Talked about how you just walk around. You know how we do until we're sick of it? Well, I tried, but I like it. Jesus understand because it, well, He'll forgive me. I'll sing again. I'll do a little shout. Maybe I'll give a little extra in an offering, and Jesus will forgive it. Maybe I'll just get by this time. I'll pray through real good on Sunday, and everything will be all right because His mercies are renewed every morning. I'll remember where Paul said, "Shall we continue in sin? God forbid." We should not be continuing in sin, because what we're saying is the blood of Jesus is not enough. For a turnaround. You know, the problem is you're fought so hard because the devil knows what's happened when you get loose and you finally figure it out. You see, we all, how many's walked a hard road? Come on, yeah. Yeah. And it almost feels like that Jesus left us. But can I tell you, He never left you. He never left Joseph. When his brother sold him out, Jesus never left him. When he was lied on in Potiphar's house, Jesus never left him. But what was happening is he was being prepared to save a nation. Can I tell you, only heaven knows what you're being prepared for. But you have to decide to quit circling that same thing that's got you held back and held up and head northward up the mountain. You have to get closer to God. You see, that sin loses its power in around a mighty God when you decide, "I love you more, Jesus. I love you more than this affair. I love you more than what I'm looking at. I love you more than what I'm listening to. I love you more than that bad, nasty talk. I love you more than all these things. I love you more than all of this sin that's trying to plague my life. I love you more than my flesh, Lord. I love you more." You can turn around, but you got to want to. One of the worst case scenarios in the Bible was Ezekiel chapter 37. The Lord asked Ezekiel, he's in the middle of a valley of dry bones. How many of us have felt like everything around us is dead? And everything we try is dead. And every time we try to make a move, there's another skeleton. There's another something there to remind me that there's no life. Everyone faces it. And God asked him a question. "Audrey," he said, "can these bones live? Can these bones live?" No doubt Ezekiel's looking out across that boneyard. And he's like, "Oh, Lord." And he says it. He said, "But Galker, oh, Lord, thou knowest." You know if it can. And here's what the Lord told him. "Speak to these bones. Prophesy to these bones." Can I tell you, you are going to get what you speak. And if you learn to speak your mind and speak up and let God take over, you can conquer death in your life. You can conquer the things that are trying to take you out. Let me tell you something. Oh, I'm like, Lord. That thing that's holding you back, speak to it. That sin that seems to have you held captive, speak to it. When you wake up in the morning, you speak into your day, "I'm going to have a blessed day. Whatever comes, Jesus has got the wheel, and it's going to be okay." Speak to your finances, "I speak in abundance." Speak to your body, "I pronounce healing in the name of Jesus." And when you start to prophesy and speak to your dead bones that are in your life, things change. But as long as you're playing patty cake with it, nothing is going to change. You're going to continue to circle Mount Seir. Problem is, we want a little bit of Jesus and a whole lot of flesh. Problem is, we want a little bit of Jesus, a lot of sin. We want a little bit of Jesus and a lot of me. A lot of what I want, a lot of what my flesh wants, a lot of what makes me happy. If I remember correctly, Jesus said, "Take up my cross, not my comfy chair. Not my cake. Take up my cake and follow me. I could eat some cake right now." He didn't say, "Take up my cushion." No, he said, "Take up my cross. Follow me." Can I tell you, it's not easy. It's not always easy living for God, but can I tell you, it's worth it? Can I tell you that when you take that cross up, you can count on blessings. You can count on God working in your life. You can count on going to heaven when you shoulder that cross and say, Jesus, I'm following you. Come what may, hell or high water, I'm coming after you. And this cross is not too heavy. The problem is when things get heavy, we have the habit of laying the cross down. It's time to bear the cross again. You're circling Mount Seir because you're not done with your sin. You're not done with you. He started speaking to them bones, and something started happening. Things started changing. Things started turning around. Can I tell you, there's power in the words you speak. I want to tell you, how many of us is going through a situation right now we don't see the end of? Anybody? Start speaking it. Start speaking. God, you're going to get glory in the situation. God, you get the last say in the situation. God, you're going to move in the situation. God, I'm going to take my hands off of it. I'm just going to follow you, and you're going to see it through. I trust you, God. I want you to repeat that after me. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you with the situation. I may not understand what I'm seeing. I may not understand the hurt I'm feeling right now, but I trust you, God. You see, here's the thing. When he started prophesying, the bones started coming together. And then sinew, the Bible says, started appearing on it. And it happened in succession. As we began to turn northward and we began walking up the mountain, things are going to fall into place. I'm going to get you again, Brother Josh. Your BMW is going to act right. That's what I'm talking about. The things are going to start falling together if you trust him. One of my favorite testimonies from Shepherdsville. So I had a young man come to me. This is what he said. He said, I'm going to take this and this day off to just do church work. And then he told me, he said, going to witness to somebody this weekend, we're going to go fishing. I'm like, praise God. He goes fishing, breaks his ankle. That person may or may not be in this room. But here's the thing. In that, God was working. In that stinky situation, God was moving. We had no idea how he was moving until I got a testimony that says, Brother Lawson, you're not going to believe this. Brother Lawson, you're not going to believe this. And he said that more than once because God kept moving. Can I tell you that even in your stinky situations, God can get glory. Even in the valley of dry bones, God can get glory. Even in the mess of your financial situation, God can get glory. In the mess of your health situation, God can get glory. But you have to speak life into that thing. We've come past this mountain long enough. New doors are going to open, but you got to close some old ones. You see, in order to go through a new door, another one has to shut. You can't keep it propped open. Because when you keep old doors propped open, things slip in. When you keep those old things open, well, I'm not going to give it up all the way. I can control it. Lord, have mercy. I know it's thick in here today, but it is what it is. Can I tell you, close the door all the way. I preached Wednesday night, and if you miss Wednesday night, look, let me put this plug in. I was supposed to teach on the fruit of the Spirit Wednesday night, and the Holy Ghost moved in and changed my message, and we talked about new beginnings, and we didn't record it, unfortunately. I kind of wish we would have recorded that one, because I'm going to tell you, there was some life-changing stuff in that service. You have to empty out. You can't take the old in with the new. You can't take the old me and try to put it in the new me, because it won't. God does not cohabitate with sin. So, Brother Lawson, I hear you talking a lot about this change, and I've got these things I'm dealing with, Brother Lawson. How do I break? The anointing is what breaks the yoke. You've got to have the Holy Ghost, and when you got the Holy Ghost, it shouldn't. If you think you have the Holy Ghost and you can still sin, you better check your Holy Ghost. If you think you can willingly participate in sin and be used, you better check your Holy Ghost. You better ask Ananias and Sapphira what happened. You see, here's what happened. I'm going to preach two messages in one today. Acts chapter 2, Holy Ghost has been poured out. Verse 37, it says, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do? We've seen this Holy Ghost break out. We don't understand what's happening here. These people are filled with the Spirit. What are we to do? It's the first salvation message preached after Jesus' ascension. Now watch. Here's what he said. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost for me? Well, let's keep reading. Because the gift is for you and your children, and all those that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So how many is that? That means me. That means you. That means my grandkids. That means your children. That means everybody until the Lord comes. And can I tell you, that is the way to heaven. I'm going to prove it to you, okay? Don't everybody get nervous on me. I'm going to prove it. Let's go. Time to switch messages here. Let me get my notes here. First of all, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He's a smart guy. He come to Jesus at night because he didn't want anybody to know that he was talking to Jesus. Because what would they say if he went to see Jesus? I'd be crucified. They see me with Jesus. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God because nobody else can do these things. What do I need to do? And here's what Jesus said, okay? He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, that sounds like hard stop, right? Full stop. Unless you're born again, you can't go to heaven. Nicodemus was like, what? What do you mean? Am I supposed to go into my mom's womb again and be born all over again? And then Jesus clarified, except a man is born again of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot. This messes people up because that's not what they've been taught. A lot of churches are not teaching that. But that's what Jesus said. Now, can I ask this question? Who's going to argue with Jesus? Raise your hand. Nobody? Okay. So Jesus said, unless a man is born again of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How are you born again of water? Acts 2:38 said, repent. So when I repent, Kaylin, the things I'm struggling with, I'm not doing no more. When you truly repent, you turn away from it. I don't want this anymore because I found a new love and his name is Jesus. I found something worth following and his name is Jesus. So I'm turning away from all this because all of this is killing me. And then he said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Repentance is like falling in a mud puddle, Sister Egbert. Little Charlotte going outside in her brand new dress. You say, little Charlotte, don't you get muddy. And she goes out and she flops in the mud like her daddy. And she comes in with those little precious eyes. And she said, Mama, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to fall in that mud hole. Well, she repented of it, right? She ain't going to do it no more. You ain't going to be in that mud no more, right? But can I ask this? Did it take care of the mud that's on her dress? No. She just said, I'm sorry. Baptism washes our soul. It washes us. It washes all of the sin that we committed clean. That's why we must be born again of water, which is baptism, and then the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, that He can live in you. You see, there's things that you can't quit on your own, amen? How many of us had struggles that we tried to quit on our own and we couldn't? But then we got the Holy Ghost and everything changed. You see, the things I used to do, I don't do no more because the Spirit of God moved in me and gave me the power to overcome. So Nicodemus was a smart guy. He was a ruler. But then there's Cornelius. I want to address this. There's so many people that think that I can just be good enough to make it to heaven. That was Cornelius, bro. Bible said that he did alms daily. He gave alms. And they went up as a memorial before the Lord. But he didn't know who he was worshiping. He was an upright man. He did everything right, but can I tell you, it wasn't enough. It was not enough. The Bible tells us that. So what does the Lord do? He says, well, I'm going to have to give Peter a dream and let him know that it's okay that the Gentiles get the Holy Ghost too. And then Peter had his little dream, and the Lord told him, said, hey, these unclean animals, go ahead, rise and eat. Oh, no, Lord, I ain't doing that. He goes, don't you call unclean what I call clean. Can I tell you what he was saying there is the Holy Ghost is for me. The Holy Ghost is for you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you participated in. You can have the Holy Ghost. And so he goes to Cornelius' house. He shows up. He opens the door. Cornelius goes, oh! I'm in trouble. And Peter's at the door. He's like, oh, Lord. He's like, get up. Am I going to be able to get up? He started worshiping Peter. Peter said, get up. You don't worship a man. Can I tell you, the only person we worship is Jesus. And he went in and he began to preach. And while he was preaching, you know what happened? Anybody know what happened? They got the Holy Ghost. Before they got baptized, the Holy Ghost fell on them. As he was speaking, they began to lift their hands and speak in another language because they were hungry for God. Can I tell you, when you're hungry for God, God will come in and he'll change you. He'll give you the Holy Ghost, but you gotta want it. And now the next part is real important. Let's go there. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts 10 and 44. Please just pacify me. Because this is real important. 10 and 44, let me know when you're there. Everybody there? While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, they were the ones that believed, were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because it on the Gentiles was poured the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them, what? Speak with tongues. They heard it with their own ear. And they heard them magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Can I tell you, water baptism is necessary. Let me tell you, I want to be very clear on this. I know a lot of churches preach a lot of different things, but can I tell you, this is Bible doctrine. This is where the church started. He said, can any man forbid water? They've done received the Holy Ghost, and he commanded them. He didn't ask them, he commanded them. What did he say? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then they tarried with them certain days. They were baptized in Jesus' name, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm not done yet. Look at your neighbor and tell him, Brother Lawson's not done yet. Acts 18:24. Certain Jew named Apollos, he's in the countryside, and I'll just read it, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus, and this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Okay, John's baptism was what? Unto repentance. That's all he knew. If that was enough, this next part wouldn't have happened. Okay, now I'm gonna get into real treacherous territory here. Everybody buckle your seatbelts, okay? And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Can I tell you, there's good people out there that just don't know the fullness of the Godhead. They just don't know the fullness of salvation. You see, there's a correct way to be baptized. I have been baptized twice. The first time, I was about 9 years old, and I was baptized the way Matthew 28 and 19, the way everybody thinks that it says. And they dunked me in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But that's not the name of Jesus. There is a difference. You see, you have to have the right name applied over you. Can I tell you, when my wife married me, she didn't change her name to Christina, husband, son, and father. No, her name was changed to Christina Lawson, because that's my name. When we get baptized in the name of Jesus so we can be like him. We take his name on. I want to throw this in. It was Priscilla and Aquila both that were expounding the word more perfectly. It's both of them. It was both of them. The Bible's very clear about that. We get sideways on that, but why would the Bible put it in there like that? They both. I'm going to read it again. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Interesting. Interesting. Might want to digest that one. Let it sit for a minute. Can a woman be a pastor? Can she? I don't think so. Can she minister? Absolutely. She can. If not, why would that say that? See, we get messed up when it says that a bishop should be the husband of one wife. That's a pastor. It's a pastor. But a woman can minister. Can I tell you, you don't think a woman can hoe the corn? Go listen to a message from Vesta Mangan. Look, I'm going to tell you, we can't get so tied up. Amen? Man, I felt heavy right there, but amen on me. If you want to talk more about it, come see me. Amen. Let's keep going. Now, I talked about me being baptized a different way. Amen. Anybody ever been baptized any other way than Jesus' name other than me? Okay, praise God. Praise God. I'm not alone. I'm among friends. Yes, sir. Listen. Watch this. Acts 19. And it came to pass, while Apollos, who just got educated, was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. What are disciples? They're people following after God. They are church people. They are people that claim to have the message. Now watch, here's what he said. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Does that make it sound like the Holy Ghost is important? It absolutely does. And then they said, very first question he asked, I thank you for that. Very first question, have you got the Holy Ghost yet? What's the Holy Ghost? He goes on to say, unto what then were you baptized? He said, oh, I was baptized unto Paul's repentance. He said, well, that repentance, or John's repentance. Oh, Paul, what am I talking about? John's repentance. And he said, that is unto repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. Now read the next verse. Then they were baptized in Jesus' name. I said all that to say this. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, what's the holdup? There is no other baptism that gets you. Baptism is necessary. Look at your neighbor and tell him, remind him, baptism is necessary. Baptism is necessary. Brittany's like, why are you talking to me? Don't point me out. Baptism's necessary. Can I tell you, I struggled. When I was a teenager, I struggled until I found out about Jesus' name baptism, until I found out about this thing called the Holy Ghost. Look, I'm going to tell you, look, Josh, I told this one right here. Ain't no way I was acting like them crazy bunch of people. Those were my exact words. I watched a camp meeting, kind of like NAYC. I looked at her. I said, that's fake as a snake. I'll never do that. I'm going to tell you, on that first service, I came in never, never in like I never, never had before. Because I ran to that altar, and I bowed down, and I repented, and things began to happen, and I got stirred up, and I began to speak to the bones in my life, and the Holy Ghost took over, and God did something in me. And God can do something in you, too. When we're done circling Mount Seir, the problem we get is that we get in a rut. We don't want to give up what God's delivered us from. I'm going to tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost today. I want you to stand with me.